Let's go in our Bibles to Luke chapter 22. I enjoyed that time of sharing together with you. And we are looking at Jesus' last Passover and the first Lord's Supper. It's an interesting way of looking at things, but I know that as we look at this passage in Luke chapter 22, we get to see the Lord Jesus together with his disciples. I know that I shared that it's difficult to put the timeline together, but my interpretation is that this is the Passover meal, that this is the night of the Passover, and that's the way I'm approaching it, at least for this time, this teaching time. And so Luke chapter 22, they found, Jesus sent them to find a place, and they found it exactly as the Lord Jesus had told them they would find this place. Verse 14, we read, "And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after the supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrays me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goes as it was determined. But woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing." Well, we are on this night of Jesus' betrayal. This is the night he is arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. This is obviously prior to that. They are gathered in a room together where they, in my interpretation, are eating the Passover meal. We talked about the importance of this in being linked together with the unfolding of the gospel, if you will, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The coinciding, the placing together of this Passover meal and the Lord's Supper, we have to see how these things go together. We recognize and see that Jesus had a great desire, and the word is emphasized. It's used, it's double here. Desire I have desired, verse 15, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. And we talked about how those two words are have the same root, Passover and suffer. And they share the same root. And I believe there is a connection here that Jesus is making between the Passover celebration, which involved a lamb that was sacrificed and his blood had to be shed in order to save the people from the death angel, from the angel that would kill. And Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who would take away the sins of the world. Yes, he has told them he would suffer. And again, he says it here, before I suffer. "For I say," verse 16, "unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God." As I've looked through this and studied this, there's different interpretations of this, but from what I can tell, it would seem that this is the Passover meal that the Lord Jesus is eating with his disciples, his apostles. And it is told, it's not in the scriptures, but it is said that the way they would celebrate the Passover, it would involve some certain things. One of those things that it would involve was four cups. And those four cups coincided with four different things that are described in Exodus that the Lord Jesus would do for his people. Speaking of deliverance and speaking of redemption and those sorts of things. And so those four cups, some have likened these two cups that are mentioned here in Luke 22 to be a part of that meal. I'm not discounting that theory, but I'm not necessarily going to push that theory either. But it is very likely that there is some overlap. But what I do see is I see that Jesus is making this point. This is the last Passover I'm eating with you. In other words, the Passover has a point and was incredibly beneficial to remind God's people over and over again of what God did in Egypt. That Passover lamb had an incredible significance, reminding that God delivered through the blood of this lamb. But Jesus emphasizing, this is the last time I eat this with you until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God, is very significant language here. Because what we are finding is that Jesus, as he partakes of this last Passover, is now realizing and communicating with his disciples that this is the last one, because after this, the Passover will be fulfilled. It will be fulfilled in my life and in my death. And so therefore, the significance of the Passover as it was is now placed on Jesus Christ. And so, yes, the Passover is a valuable memorial, and people still celebrate that today, and that is okay, but what Jesus has done is said it's been fulfilled, and it's been fulfilled in me. Now, look at this here. Verse 15 again. With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. So it sure seems as if Jesus is eating this Passover meal with his disciples. For I say, verse 16, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. So we've got to understand the kingdom of God. That's an important definition that we need to have in our minds. The kingdom of God is a term regularly used in the Gospels, regularly used in the preaching and teaching of Jesus Christ. It speaks of the realm in which God reigns as king. This realm is spiritual in the days of Jesus, but nevertheless true and real. In other words, there's no doubt from Jesus' perspective who's king. There's no doubt who is ruler over all. But from a human perspective, from the physical perspective, Rome ruled. The emperor ruled. There was physical powers in place. And so therefore the kingdom of God was described as spiritual. It was Jesus' way of directing men's attention to spiritual truths. So when one trusts in Jesus, essentially, he is submitting to him as king. The believer is acknowledging the superiority of the kingdom of God over all other kingdoms. So there's coming a day when the kingdom of God will appear. That is, it will be made manifest to all. And that is when Jesus Christ comes to earth again. So there is going to be, future tense, a physical manifestation of the kingdom of God. I draw your attention to Luke 21, just across the page from where we are. And you look at Luke chapter 21, verse 27. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draws near. And he spake to them a parable, behold, the fig tree and all the trees, when they now shoot forth, you see and know of your own selves that summer is nigh at hand. So likewise you, when you see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. What does that mean? Well, that means that the kingdom of God will be made manifest and appear in its physical form very soon. And that is what he's teaching there as he's speaking of the second coming of his own second coming. It's interesting to, if you take time to look at the various different mentions of the kingdom of God, and I'm going to do so. It's okay if I plod through at a slow pace. I realize I've been in this passage for several weeks, but this is good teaching. This is good teaching time that we can have to understand these things, and it's really been beneficial for me to unwrap and uncover these things for my own understanding. And so understanding the kingdom of God is helpful so that when you're reading through, especially the Gospels, you're able to put it in its proper place and context. So here are the various mentions that Luke makes of the kingdom of God. And again, this is under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, and very often, most often, it's in the words of Jesus. So Luke chapter 8 and verse 10 we read, and he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. In other words, God wanted his followers, his disciples specifically, to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to others he spoke in parables. Speaking of the kingdom of God as a mystery helps us realize that it is difficult to understand. It was something that needed an unlocking, that God needed to unlock this for his followers. Luke 12:31, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, what are you seeking? Are you seeking something that does not yet exist? Or are you seeking something that, yes, it does exist, but yet is not made manifest physically? I believe the latter. Yes, it does exist. I am seeking the kingdom of God, the realm in which I know God is king and ruling. Although I may not see it and touch it, and you may not see it and touch it, and the world out there may laugh at you. Nevertheless, the Lord is king. Luke 17 and verse 20, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God comes not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Interesting, isn't it? That this is what Jesus said when the Pharisees confronted him and said, when the kingdom of God should come, when should it come? And Jesus says, it is within you. Luke 18:16. But Jesus called them unto him and said, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. So in other words, there is a way to enter into the kingdom of God, and it is as a child. And Jesus illustrates this in physical way with the children that were around him. So I believe the kingdom of God, yes, does exist. Luke 18:24, and when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. So he's talking about entering into a kingdom. Entering into the realm in which God is king. Luke 19:11. And as they heard these things, he added, and he spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. So if they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear, then their understanding was that there is the kingdom of God, but that it hasn't yet been manifest. And so, therefore, Jesus instructed them, otherwise it was not yet to appear. They were looking for him to establish the kingdom, establish rule over Rome, and off they went with the Jesus ruling in righteousness over all. It was not yet to be. Luke 21:31. So likewise you, when you see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. So, something. What did I just do? I took what we're looking at in this text, in Luke 22, the kingdom of God. And I took and I looked back at the places that Luke, the same author, the same human writer, let's put it that way. He's the one who wrote. Inspiration, the Spirit of God. God is the writer. I'm sorry, God is the author. Luke wrote it. And we're going to take and we're look at every time Luke uses that phrase. Because we want to understand it. So we're going to understand it in the context of the same human writer, because there is a uniqueness to each one of them. And so that's helpful in your study if you want to understand what does this phrase mean. We'll look at the other places that this writer uses it. So for Jesus to say in Luke 22:16 that I will not eat anymore. That I will not any more eat of the Passover until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. He is saying that from the perspective of the spiritual kingdom of God, when he is killed as the Lamb of God, the Passover will have reached its ultimate fulfillment. The Passover in Exodus 12 certainly saved lives at that time through the faith of those who killed the lamb and spread its blood on their doorposts and lintel. But that lamb's blood was not sufficient to provide salvation for all people for all time. The subsequent temple sacrifices added to this picture, but was not sufficient to pay for all sin. The fact that Jesus makes this point drives home this truth. Following his death the next day, Passover will no longer be the same. There will be a better sacrifice and one that must be remembered. Hence, Jesus establishes the Lord's Supper. And so, from the kingdom of God's perspective, Jesus' death met the demands of God's justice, providing for those who believe in Jesus an eternal Passover. You hear that? An eternal Passover lamb. I mean, it's a sacrifice, lasts forever. And so therefore we go from Passover, and I believe as we're looking at Luke chapter 22, that we see the last Passover, Luke 22:13-18. And then we see the first Lord's Supper in Luke 22:19-20. And it adds an interesting perspective as you look at this text. And as you realize that Jesus is making a very profound point here with his disciples. Now, do they get it? Do they fully understand it and comprehend it? I don't believe they did. But boy, we have the amazing benefit of being able to know the entire story. And so when we look at this and we get to see this, we see what Jesus is doing. He's leading his disciples along and linking together this very important memorial, the Passover. The Jews celebrated this every year. It was very precious to them, as it was commanded by God. And he is tying that together, and he's saying, it's going to be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. From the kingdom of God's perspective, it's no longer going to be the same. Because there is a perfect Lamb of God who's going to take away the sin of the world. And so what Jesus does is he takes the cup and he gave thanks and he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And so we're seeing here this cup, which may be one of the last cups as a part of their Passover meal. Again, it is said and believed there were four cups. And there was unleavened bread. And there was a whole liturgy, if you will, that they would walk through in this time of celebration. Psalms 113 through 118, I believe, the Psalms of Hallel would be sung in this time of celebration. But you know what? Jesus, I believe, being God, has full freedom to take what had been a tradition and a memorial for generations and to take it and say, now, I make this new, and I do so in me. And that's what we're celebrating when we come to the Lord's Supper, is we are celebrating the eternal Passover, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. And so we see in verses 19 and 20, Jesus taking bread. And it is almost definitely, although this word is just the generic word for bread, it is almost definitely unleavened bread. And he gave thanks, and he broke it, and he gave it unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. And likewise also the cup. After the supper, which I'm saying that supper is the Passover meal. After the supper, saying this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Now, I want to say more on those things. I think it's important to unwrap that a little bit more, so we're not going to do that all tonight. So what have we learned tonight? What have we walked away from? Well, I have appreciated being able to see last Passover, first Lord's Supper. I have appreciated and benefited from understanding the Passover being fulfilled in the kingdom of God and Jesus Christ and what he's going to do, his suffering on the cross, his blood that is shed, is the fulfillment that is speaking of. That the kingdom of God, after his death, burial, and resurrection, it is going to be viewed differently. Now, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world has paid the penalty for sin, and salvation is possible through his blood. And that covers that. That pays the sin debt, past, present, and future. The benefits of digging deep here is because we as Christians celebrate the Lord's Supper regularly. And so digging deep, sinking our teeth into this, going verse by verse, little bit by little bit, is important because we do this regularly. And let's understand it and let's see it well. I'm seeing new things. And I love that. And I enjoy that richness. And I trust that you find it enriching as well. So God, we worship you tonight and we do this in honor of your name, the perfect Lamb of God. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that we see you in Revelation and that the songs in heaven are before the throne and that's where you are. I thank you for the promise that you're coming again. I thank you for teaching us, for helping us to understand. And I pray that you would bless your people, help us as we go from this place to walk in communion with you. In Jesus' name, amen.